a peculiar treasure. It comes from a scripture in Exodus. And before we read that, we'll just consider for a moment, we'll solicit some input from you all. What would be something that's peculiar? We'll just start there first. Anybody? What's something peculiar? Okay, different. All right.
Odd.
Odd. True.
Strange.
Rare. Rare. I like that. So we kind of have both spectrums here. Some of it kind of has a negative connotation, but other parts of it, as Brother Jeremy mentioned, rare is... Okay. Something that catches your attention. I think of a couple other words. Special. Unusual. So peculiar. Then we'll consider a treasure. What would a treasure be? Okay. Yeah. Well, what? And why is a diamond so valuable? It's rare. So it kind of goes together. So a peculiar treasure. When a person has a treasure, what do they do with it? Do they just like... don't care attitude? Are they haphazard about it? Half-hearted about it? Just whatever. How do they...
they...
okay, so some put them on display. They want to tell everybody about them. Other people hide them. You never see them. They're hidden in a safe somewhere, underneath their bed. Whatever, it's a treasure. Some go bury them. So a treasure is something valuable. It's a prized possession. It means something to you. So a peculiar treasure is truly something very special. It's not something treated as just another same old, you know, just like everything else. No, it's special. It's prized. Well, go ahead. Yes.
Belonging to a person and to him only.
Okay. All right.
That's actually one of the definitions of
religion. Okay. I like that.
That's part of what God means here.
Yes.
That's
right. That's exactly what we're fixing to read about. It's a scripture in Exodus, the 19th chapter. And this took place after God had delivered his people through the Red Sea out of Egypt. A familiar story. We've all heard it many times. But there was something special going on here because God had a plan. And it was a long-term plan, and it was a special plan to lead his people from Egypt out of bondage over into the Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where they would be provided for abundantly. Well, they get out to the wilderness, and they meet some hardships, run out of food, run out of water, start moaning and complaining. God blesses, provides for them. And then he takes them down to the area of Mount Sinai, down to the bottom of the peninsula there. And he's fixing to give them the commandments. And before he does that, God impresses upon Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, to set up a chain of command where Moses doesn't have to be the only one sitting there judging all the people day and night. Just going to wear him out. So he sets up leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, to help get everything organized and in order, preparing the way for the law to be given. But right before the law is given, starting with the Ten Commandments and more was to follow, God wanted Moses to tell his people something very unique here. And let's see what he tells them. In verse 3, chapter 19 of Exodus, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now notice what he says there. I want to focus on the verse right before the one that mentions the peculiar treasure. Notice what he said here, "how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." You know, that phrase right there means a lot. You consider truly what God did for the children of Israel. There's two ways of looking at this, and I believe they both apply. First of all, let's talk about the eagles. What do eagles do to their young when they're in the nest? They just let them sit there until they're nice and grown. It's like, okay, see you. And they fly off into the sunset. How does this work? What do the eagles do? They push their young out and say, "you're going to learn to fly." And so as they're falling, they're trying to flap their little wings and try as hard as they can to fly. And the first several times, they don't make it very far. They're going to fall. But the eagle, the mother, the father, they swoop down, get underneath them, and catch them. And then take them right back up to the nest, to the comforts of home. Let them sit there a little bit. Like, okay, we're going to try it again. They push them out again. And here they go again. But the point is, they're trying to get them to exercise their wings. Because one of these days, they're going to have to be on their own. They're going to have to be out there soaring, swooping down, and catching for their own livelihood. They're going to have to survive on their own. Well, you know, that's what God was doing with the children of Israel. You know, He took them out of Egypt, and then they're trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. Why don't they exercise a little bit of faith here? Well, of course, they're all alarmed. God is like, okay, I'll help you out. Swoops down, delivers them. Takes them through the Red Sea, then they're over in the wilderness, just starting out, complaining about no water. And God says, okay, you know, I'll help you again, gives them water. And then they complain about food, gives them food, so on and so forth. But different times, God had mercy upon them. Didn't allow them to die of thirst, of hunger. Didn't allow them to die by the sword from the Egyptians. Didn't allow them to drown in the Red Sea. All those things protected them, trying to get them to exercise their faith. And you know, how many times did they falter? Their faith was lacking. And they sent out the 12 spies. Remember what happened then? God was trying to push them some more, and most of them failed again. But the encouraging thing is, God never gave up on them. They were His peculiar treasure. And we'll get to the treasure here in a moment, but I want to talk about this second part, about the eagle. You know, when God says, "I'm going to bear you up on, and how I bear you up on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." That part right there means a lot too. Meaning, nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing is going to get to you, child, when you're next to me. And at times, you know, it feels like in life where God maybe pushes us out and we're trying to exercise faith and flapping our wings, so to speak. And it's like, oh no, God will catch us. And He doesn't just catch us and just kind of, okay, well, no. He takes us back to Himself, so to speak, back in His arms, His mighty strong hand, and say, "I got you, child. It's okay. Now we'll go through this exercise again. I'm not going to forsake you, but I want you to exercise. I want you to try. I want you to step out on faith." As the song says, "come and trust my might." Just step out on faith. And truly, that's what God was trying to do with the children of Israel, because there was coming a day when they were going to come to the Jordan River. And how were they going to get across? By faith. The priest stepping their foot. Nothing happened before they got to the water's edge. But the moment the priest's feet stepped at the edge of the waters parted. You know, isn't that amazing? And then it went beyond that. Joshua was leading them then. And they went to Jericho. God again pushed him out of the nest, so to speak, and said, don't say a word when you march around, you know. And it looked awful foolish. Remember what we talked about earlier? A peculiar treasure. Someone mentioned odd. Kind of silly, kind of different. Truly, God's people were that. No other nation had ever defeated a city like they did at Jericho. Not before and not after. It was peculiar. But it was God's peculiar people. So he can do that. Well, so they're in the wilderness. This is at the beginning of their journey. I don't believe any of them knew what the next 40 years were going to be like. I don't think they really understood that multiple times God was going to be pushing them out of the nest, so to speak, and testing their faith again. Well, 40 years later, let's read what happens. Deuteronomy 32. This is before, right before Moses dies. Moses is fixing to pass the torch to Joshua. But he leaves some parting words here to the children of Israel. In this whole chapter, they call it a Song of Moses, or his last testimony, I guess you would say. The 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. We'll just read a few verses here. We'll start with verse 7. It says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with them. You know, that's what God did for his people. Yes, he stirred up the nest. Yes, he allowed some calamities to come, some challenges, some tests of faith. But he wasn't going to allow them to die and perish. This was 40 years later. And yet, God hadn't forgot his peculiar treasure. God still had a plan. God still wanted to bless his people. And multiple generations following. Because he's saying here, Moses, you know, ask thy father and he will shew thee, the elders and they will tell thee. You know, share these things. Remind each other. There's other verses I didn't look up here that talk about reminding each other daily, weekly, of all the mighty miracles that God performed, of the ways that he protected them like an eagle would her young and bear them up on her wings. But this is what was going to be the foundation of their faith. In other words, how were they? There's no other way that they would be able to, in this new generation that Joshua was going to lead, there was no other way that they could go into the land of Canaan with the faith and confidence without being reminded frequently of how God preserved his people. Now, here's another interesting tidbit. We'll get back to the peculiar treasure here in a moment. But just to emphasize, I know you all have heard this again, but I want to remind us how special. Not only did he give them manna every day to eat, but God also performed another miracle for them in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verse 5. I'll read you what God did. It says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Think about that for a moment. We'll ask the question, have any of us ever kept a pair of shoes for 40 years and wore them every day? How long will they last? Or clothes? Some of us may keep some for a while, but out in the wilderness, in all the elements, for 40 years, and for children, the clothes and the shoes grew with them. They didn't wax old. They didn't deteriorate, fall apart. I call that quite a miracle. That was proof, again, of this peculiar treasure that God had, His people. You know, it's something that they probably just kind of got used to. I'm just thinking, I don't know, but perhaps they just kind of got used to that. And maybe that's where, when they started talking to their father and their grandfather about, like, oh, you know what? These are the same clothes I left Egypt in. And the same shoes, too. That's a miracle. That there's something, I don't know, it's mind-boggling to me. But how did God do that? Well, how did He give them manna? How did He part the Red Sea? How did He part the Jordan River? How did He cause the walls of Jericho to fall? How did He do all those things? He's God. It doesn't matter. God can do anything. And when we... Now, notice, let's go back and read what the condition was. This is what I want to get to here. Exodus, the 19th chapter. Let's go back and read that. Let's remind ourselves. He says, now, therefore, if... There is a condition here. If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. So it's one thing to obey the voice, but it's another thing to continue to obey. That's how you keep the covenant. Then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. So he's saying, you keep this up and I will lead you into the land of Canaan. I will deliver them, those giants, into your hands. I will enable you to inherit this beautiful, luscious land flowing with milk and honey. No longer to wander around in the wilderness. And guess what? You get some new clothes and shoes too. As a bonus. But here's the thing. God had a plan from day one. When they were in Egypt, God saw the heavy burdens that they carried. And even throughout the wilderness, God didn't forsake them all the way through. And the other thing, the other side of it was God was continually testing their faith. Wanted them to grow in faith because He wanted to prove to them that, well, for one, you remember, eventually they wanted a king like all the other nations. Do you realize that wasn't God's original plan? He wanted to be their king. He wanted them to be His peculiar treasure forever. Not to allow anyone to come in between. But out of the hardness of their hearts and the persuasion and the peer pressure from all the other nations, they asked for a king and God granted it. But consider again. Did God ever fail them? The failing came on the side of the children of Israel. Every time there was a failure, it wasn't on God's behalf. It was because they didn't obey His voice. It was because they didn't keep His covenant. It was when they started putting other gods and worshiping idols and doing all these other things, that's when the trouble came. But God, all the way through, He was faithful on His part. And so the awesome thing for us, the challenge for us, is to just simply obey, follow His commandments and keep His covenant. And we can become this peculiar treasure, this treasure that God can hold in His hand and say, no one's going to get this. No one can take this from me. And if God can do all these other miracles, believe me, there is nothing the enemy can do. And there's scriptures that talk about that too. They can't snatch us out of the Lord's hand. That we're invincible as long as we're in God's hand. You see what I'm saying? But when we pry ourselves loose out of the presence of the Lord and say, no, I don't really, I'm going to try this way over here. I'm going to try that over there. And I think the ways of these other nations, you know, they got a king and that seems to be a good thing to, you know, that looks pretty neat over there. And we start getting out of the safety of the arm of the Lord, the strong hand of the Lord. We are no longer then a peculiar treasure. We're no longer something so rare, so special and odd to the world because they don't understand it. They don't see it. They don't feel the protection we feel. They don't feel the presence of God like we feel. They don't feel all the blessings, the pleasures of God that we feel. And so the world, yes, they're going to look at us as, well, yeah, you're peculiar. You're odd, all right. You're kind of a weirdo. But you know, if we're in the Lord's hand, does that matter? No, it doesn't matter. I remember going through public school. It was a challenge. Yeah, I was an oddball. But you know, the encouraging thing was I wasn't the only one. There were others that were a peculiar treasure to the Lord too. And they held true and faithful and gave me a pattern to live by. That yes, they made it. I can too. And then it was time for me to do my part. Then those that could follow behind me, they could say, you know, they were a peculiar treasure to the Lord. I can be that too. That's what Moses was reminding them here in Deuteronomy. Speak to the ones, talk to them, share this one with another. Encourage one another that even when it looks impossible, even when it looks like there's no way out, God will bear you up on His wings. Through it all, raise us up above, out of it, take us back to His bosom, say, it's all right, child. I'm here. You'll be okay. And it is okay. Isn't that wonderful that we have this privilege to be this peculiar treasure to the Lord, one that no one else can touch, not even Satan. Oh, he can try. And God, again, he will stir up his nest again when he sees we need some more faith, some more growth, some more purging. Then he'll say, okay, child. And there we go. But his eye, we're the apple of his eye, the scripture said. He's not forgot about us. He'll come back, catch us again, say, I got you, child. It's okay. Isn't that special? Isn't that beautiful? I'm thankful tonight that we can be God's peculiar treasure and we can stay His peculiar treasure. And in the meantime, you know the other side of this? You know there was a mixed multitude that went with the children of Israel, especially when in the land of Canaan, and some from Rahab, some of them went with the children of Israel. They were kind of foreigners. They were heathens. But yet they went with them and others throughout this time. And you know what I get from that? Is there's others out there that God wants them to receive the benefits of this peculiar treasure. And to allow them, just like Rahab, she was a heathen, unbeliever, worshiping these other idols. But yet, she heard the stories of what God did with this peculiar treasure, and she believed. Her faith took hold. And when she was pushed out of her nest, so to speak, when the walls, or even before that, she kept that scarlet cord hanging out there. No doubt her faith was tested. Many saying, take that thing down. That is so foolish. She said, no, I believe there is a God, a true God. And when the time comes, I'm going to be saved. And guess what? She was. Because she became a peculiar treasure. And how did that happen? It was the faithfulness of some others that believed and passed the torch on down. Just like Moses did to Joshua and Caleb. And what they did to all the others, Gideon and all the way through, there's been this common thread of this peculiar treasure of God's people. And we can be a part of it too. You pray for me.